Thanks very much, Shane. Thank you.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon on this Thursday afternoon. How are you? If you want to contact the programme, you know by now, 51551 for your texts or ray@rte.ie for your emails. We have a full house today, as in everyone we're speaking to is in a studio of some shape or form, which means that's the first, that's a first since March 12th, I think, last year. So it's a big day for us. It's a big day. And it's a big day for Louise Nealon as well, because her debut novel, her first book, is released today, Snowflake. And she's a woman of her word, because we spoke to her May of last year when it was announced that she'd got a publishing deal. And we said, will you come back in when you're launching the book? She said, I will. So she'll be here. And then we have Aidan. Aidan is the man who's in the middle of a controversy down in Ennistymon, because he's the man who sculpted the Puka of Ennistymon, which was, you know, commissioned. He went through a process, and now the locals are saying, we don't want it. Well, some locals are saying, we don't want it. So we'll get his side of the story. And then a good news story from Galway of a company who are recycling mattresses and giving employment to travellers in the area. So that's today. And of course, we have our quiz as well, and lots more besides. And anything that's on your mind you want to share with us, 51551ray@rte.ie. I like this letter to the Irish Times today by Siobhan Kerwin Keane, Castleknock, Dublin 15. Achara, I received my COVID-19 vaccine at the Helix in Dublin a few days ago. Despite the blips that are inevitable in a programme like this, the national rollout is in fact a logistical triumph that is worth celebrating. How lucky are we to live in a country where a vaccination programme exists and is accessible to all? Take a bow, all concerned. Siobhan Kerwin Keane. Yes, I like to see letters like that. Of course, they're doing it differently in different countries. Last week we told you about the flyer that we saw for Immunity Community. You could choose a time, you could choose which vaccine you wanted, and at the end of it all, you could choose whether you wanted a hot dog or a hamburger. That's in the States. And more news on how they're approaching the vaccination in the States today. In Ohio, to encourage people who haven't got vaccinated so far, the governor, Mike DeWine, tweeted yesterday that a state will give, listen to this, the state will give $1 million each week for 5 weeks in a lottery open to residents over the age of 18 who've received at least one dose of a COVID vaccine. I know that some may say, DeWine said, you're crazy. This $1 million drawing idea of yours is a waste of money. It's not. The real waste at this point in the pandemic, when the vaccine is readily available to anyone who wants it, is a life cost to COVID-19. So if you're on the fence and you thought that you might win $1 million, you're more likely to rock up to your local vaccination centre and get a vaccine, aren't you? So there you go, that's from the States. From Cork, the city council's litter wardens are going undercover. Yeah, they're arriving into work in plain clothes. Plain clothes city wardens, litter wardens. There's a movie in this, or maybe a TV series. Anyway, the reason they're doing it is because they want to catch the people whose dogs are doing the poopies on the pavement. That's why they want to do it. And they're going to hang around just casually in their civilian clothing and just, you know, in parks and places like that. And they're going to spot the people and they're going to jump on them then. You can't do that. That's against the law. Section 22 of the Litter Pollution Act, 1997-2009, requires that a person charge of a dog shall immediately remove dog feces from a public place. Spot litter fine of 150 or maximum court fine of 3,000 euro. And then it's, who do you? I'm an undercover litter warden. They show the badge then. Oh, you got me. You got me. I've been rumbled. It's a difficult one, the old dog poo, you know, because I was running this morning and there's a track anyway there, and it's the, one lane is for walkers, then there's two lanes for cyclists, you know, one each way. So I was running up anyway, and the only way I can describe it, and sorry if you're having your lunch, is there was a pool of poo. You know, there's a pool of poo. So I'm running on, I managed to dodge the pool of poo, and then there's this young lady coming down in a wheelchair. So I said, I better alert her to the fact that there's a pool of poo down there, about 100 metres on. So I said, just watch out there at the end of the lane there, at the end of the cycle lane, there's a pool of poo. Be careful. Because you don't want, like, especially if you're in a wheelchair. And then she looked at me and then she looked behind me and she looked back at me. And then I realised she was looking at me and she was looking at the dog, my dog, Stanley. And I thought, oh no, it wasn't him. It wasn't him. So she'd gone off in her wheelchair and I was shouting after her, no, it wasn't him. It wasn't him. I don't know if she heard me. She probably thinks, what an idiot. Like, he has alerted me to a pool of poo caused by his dog. It wasn't, just in case you're listening. She probably doesn't listen. Anyway, that's good news, I think, because it needs to be tackled. Dog poo. We're contractually obliged to give you a penny story every day this week. And the latest one is from Banter Ranter, who is a TikTok sensation, 20,000 followers. She managed, she hadn't got an appointment, right? But she managed movie heist style to get in to Penny's. How did she do it? She got herself a Penny's top, as in part of the uniform. And with confidence, strutted up to Penny's. Yeah, go ahead. Walked in. And then she did her shopping. The video has been viewed 97,000 times. Ocean's 11 type thing, isn't it? Wasn't there an Ocean 12? Was there a female version of that as well? What was the name of that? I watched that one night. It wasn't great now. 2014 was last week's Reeling in the Ears. Yeah, sure, why not? There you go. Sort of puts a smile on your face, doesn't it? Anyway, as part of them remembering 2014, they mentioned loom bands. That was the big craze. Remember, the coloured elastic bands that you could make into bracelets and all sorts of things. That was the big fad. And then in 2017, I don't know if they'll feature it in Reeling in the Ears, the fidget spinners. That was the big fad in 2017. Well, 2021, is it going to be the poppet? The what it? The poppet. I have one here. Do you know the enjoyment that you get out of popping the packaging? What did they call it? The bubble wrapping. Yes, bubble wrap. That's it, bubble wrapping. I couldn't find it in my head for a moment. Do you know the enjoyment you get from doing the bubble wrap thing? Well, of course, when you do it, it's gone. And you don't have bubble wrap around all the time unless you're working in a packaging company. So what they've done is they've sort of made a permanent version of it. I have it here. It's 5 inches by 5 inches square. It's pink plastic. There are 6 rows of 6 little poppet things. See, you put it through and then you pop it. See? And then you pop it. Can you hear that? So it's sort of supposed to be therapeutic. I don't know how long it's going to last. It's not very hygienic in the times we live in. But that's it. The poppet. You heard it here first. £6. And that fad lasts all of 3 minutes, I would imagine. 5 on 5 on RadioRT.ie. We better tell you about our quiz of today. Today, 13th of May, we've cobbled together 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years. The decades, the centuries, all the big news stories, scientific breakthroughs, movies, TV shows and the rest. And we have a prize as well from the Castleknock Hotel. Thanks very much, the Castleknock Hotel. They've put together 2 packages called Miss Moments. And it's helping you to celebrate those things that you may have missed last year, like birthdays, anniversaries and date nights. There's balloons involved, bubbles and cake. You can find out more at castleknockhotel.com. So a 2-night stay in that hotel for our winner today. We're looking for 2 people to come on and answer 5 questions each about this day. You know how it works by now. And there's a qualifying question. In which Irish county would you find the town of Clonakilty? In which Irish county would you find the town of Clonakilty? 1850 715 900. 1850 715 900. And we'll be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Now, let's see what you're saying. Please wish Oliver Blackwell a very happy birthday today and a speedy recovery. Love and best wishes from Olive and John, Donald and Kevin and all the family. Done. Happy birthday, Oliver, and get well soon. It's my husband Ned Brennan's birthday today and we're both driving to Porky Queeve to get vaccinated. Best birthday ever, says Paula Brennan. Ah, happy birthday, Ned. That's a great way to celebrate your birthday, isn't it? And who would have thought it 3 years ago? I tell you, the best birthday you'd ever have, going to get vaccinated. The world has changed. Can you give a big shout out to Fergal Bowers or Flip Pad Fergal, as he's now known in our house in an affectionate way. Just saw he's been in the Aviva Stadium getting his vaccination. We're delighted for him. His reports have been perfect balance over the past year. Hopefully, he'll be wearing one of our vaccination wristbands from all at the Be Clever Band together. Check us out at gotthevaccineofthevirus.com. Hopefully I got that right. And got my vaccine Tuesday at the Helix. All there, played a blinder, and I got a badge for getting the vaccine. I was delighted. Thanks again, says Catherine. So, yeah, good news there. 5 on 551 radio.rt.ie. We spoke to Paul Weller last Friday, and you can listen back if you're a fan and you missed it on the podcast thingamajig. And we didn't get a chance to play much of his music, so I thought I'd include this afternoon. Good afternoon. Nice. You Do Something to Me. Paul Weller. That's from Stanley Road, which was released in 1996. Huh? 25 years ago. That's 25 years old. Oh, no. Great tune, says somebody. And on Steely Dan, Jackie says, I was at a Steely Dan concert in The Point. Yeah, it will always be The Point to us of a certain age. When the band played Reeling in the Ears, the audience went ballistic. Sorry. It was spectacular, says Jackie. The band were probably wondering, why such a reaction to that particular song? Great band, great song, says Jackie. You may or may not remember our chat on Bubbler app. We sent in a roll of bubble to your good selves. We had a wee competition on who could guess the amount of bubbles in the roll. Ah, I do remember, Cormac. Then we gifted concert tickets for the winner. We'd welcome the opportunity to do something similar on other sustainable packaging products. Cormac from the business who makes sustainable packaging products. We might get back onto you. That sounds like a good bit of silliness there. Best Weller song of all time, in my humble opinion, says Maeve and Claire. Great for a slow set, Claire. Isn't it? Col has been on, this is the way Col's brain works. You mentioned the puka and you mentioned the pool of poo. Are you giving out subliminal messages to visit Pool of Fuka? That's the whole programme is subliminal messages, Col. I'm surprised it took you so long to cop on. Everything I say is in code. There are people taking down my every word and transposing it into something else. Yeah, I know about the quiz. Don't worry. I hear you. Yeah, 1850-715-900. We're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our quiz of today. 1850-715-900. Great prize in the Castleknock Hotel. And the question you need to answer, in which Irish county would you find the town of Clonakilty? In which Irish county would you find the town of Clonakilty? 1850-715-900.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention there, Paul Weller's new album, his 16th solo album, Fat Pop Volume 1, is out tomorrow. And it's got rave reviews. And Emmy and Lily have been on. Can you please wish a big happy birthday to Morgan, who always listens to the show. He's from Greystones in County Wicklow. Emmy and Lily say happy birthday, Morgan. Now, there's been a rumbling debate, discussion, row in the North County Clare town of Ennistymon in the last few days over the erection of a statue called the Puka of Ennistymon. Local priest Father Willie Cummins denounced the sculpture from the pulpit at a mass last weekend. Now, locals are weighing in on the debate. So too are celebrities like Darrow Breen and Chris O'Dowd, Maeve Higgins. Clare County Council has now paused plans to put up the interpretive art piece to enable a broader public engagement process to take place. Artist and sculptor Aidan Hart, who was commissioned by the council to create the Puka of Ennistymon, is in the building and he's down the corridor in a booth. Hello, Aidan.
Hello, Ray. How's it going?
Good. This is our sort of our journey back to normalness. So it's small steps.
One step at a time.
You're allowed into the building, but not exactly in the studio. So good to have you in a booth. And congratulations. For people who haven't seen a picture of the Puka of Ennistymon, can you describe it to us before we start?
Well, yeah, it's a fella with a horse's head, basically.
Right.
And he's started dancing a little jig. He's got trousers that are worse for wear, a little ragged. He's got feet that are quite big, basketballer size. And he's got a bit of a mischievous pose to him.
Yeah, and so the horse's head is disproportionately large for the body. Is that fair enough to say?
Oh, it's very fair to say. It's bigger, yes. Bigger than a horse. Very much bigger.
Yeah.
Like he himself is a 2 meter tall statue, and eventually will be a 2 meter tall bronze statue.
Okay, and then is that his tail?
Yeah, the tail is sort of there for structural reason. I mean, he has a tail because he's a puka, and you have to have a tail. But it's helping him stand up.
Yes. So right now, let's talk about the process first. So somebody decided that they needed a piece of art, a sculpture, in the middle of Ennis Diamond, and they put it out to tender. Mm. And that happens regularly, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, obviously not as often as I'd like, but it's there'd be, I don't know, a dozen or more would come up every year around the country. Like for instance, the one in Dunleary last year, that was a big one. But the one in and then Dublin City has done a bunch of them recently. But the one in Ennis Diamond would, I suppose, the budget would have been on the smaller end of things, but. What are we talking?
What's the smaller end of things?
I mean, 30,000. So, okay. The higher end would be 80s and keep going up. But the upside of that was there was a bit of freedom with the brief. Like some sculpture proposals, they'd be very specific in that. Like for example, the Dunleary one was they were asking for a 8-foot statue of Roger Casement in a realistic style in bronze.
Okay, so that's quite specific.
That's cut and dry.
Yes.
You know,
so the people in Ennis Diamond were more open ended in their brief. So what was it exactly?
Well, it was they were inviting the artists of all sorts to propose something that would reflect the heritage of Ennis Diamond. And with, like they mentioned, the horse fair that was a big thing in Ennis Diamond's past.
Right.
And they said also that the master plan behind this is that Ennis Diamond is being done up, like at the moment, with lots of money being spent, like to work out the traffic, because it was a bit of a traffic nightmare in recent years. And they basically want it to be a place that tourists stop at rather than a place they go out of their way to avoid the bad traffic.
I see here that 500,000 euro has been allocated towards the overall street improvement project by Fáilte Ireland under the, and this is what you're talking about here, Destination Towns Programme.
Oh, and it's, you know, it's a lovely town. If anyone knows Ennis Diamond, it is like one of the most beautiful in Ireland. It's in the crime show that's on RTE.
Smother.
And like they see the falls, and because it's kind of it's had a bit of a, you know, an economic maybe slump, like in after the
crash.
Yeah, I mean it's preserved,
right?
And
okay.
it's nice, and now it's coming up and it's getting a bit more hip, and they have great cafes, great restaurants, and like interesting shops for people to go around. But they have to sort out the traffic, and that's happening. And then part of that is they want something that's going to attract tourists to go there, and you take a picture with it. And so that was part of the brief, like something that was out of the ordinary enough that it would be a must-see in Clare.
Right. So it's a head-turner, eye-catcher, talkability, all of those things. You were thinking that when you were putting your pitch together.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm mad into Irish folklore, and my sculpture generally would be like it's a figurative sculpture. So I studied in the Florence Academy of Art, learning realistic sculpture. But I love mythological stories. So I've done minotaurs and centaurs and this kind of crack. But then Irish folklore, you know, you have your banshees and your leprechauns. But a character I've always loved is the puka.
Tell us about the puka.
He's a scamp. He's a scallywag. He's a shapeshifter, basically.
Right.
And he appears in the form of a horse, dog, pig, or whatever you're having yourself. But
and what sort of mischief does he get up to?
He likes basically encountering people who are a bit worse for wear coming home from the pub, and he might offer you a lift. And it's, you know, touch and go if you end up home with maybe three wishes, or he takes you away to fairyland and you're never heard of again.
Right. Okay.
So he's an ambiguous character. There's no doubt about it.
And is he a pagan? Is it a pagan thing?
Well, he's about as pagan as a leprechaun is pagan. I mean, it's Irish folklore. So it's happily coexisted with Irish Catholicism for as long as they've been around.
Now, in fairness, the puka is darker than the leprechaun.
Well, no, he is. He's a bad boy, right.
So you submitted your pitch. I believe there were 19 entries. Mm. And the good people of Ennis Diamond, there was a representative from the county council. I'll just read out here exactly who was on the thing. Following the advertising, an adjudication panel comprising of a community representative, an independent artist, the project manager for the Ennis Diamond scheme, and Clare County Council's art officer.
Mm.
They sat down, they looked at all the entries, and decided that yours was the one.
Mm.
And you got the call.
I did.
Very exciting.
Oh boy. This was my Christmas present. It just.
Right. And all was going swimmingly. And the process is that you create a clay version of the and then what happens then? You get a mold from that. Is that it?
Well, it'd be like a bronze sculpture. Like Rodin's Tinker is a bronze sculpture.
Right.
So you'd basically make it in clay, and then you'd put a mold on that, and then you'd from that mold you'd pour a wax. You'd touch up the wax, then you'd make a shell, and that shell would have molten bronze poured into it, and a patina would be applied. It's called the lost wax process, and it's basically, you know, how all sculptures are made. Sculptures.
So you had the clay version complete, and then you got an email from Clare County Council telling you to press the pause button.
They rang me up, and they said the mold was made. So basically, they said I had the mold in there with the foundry, bronze art foundry there, and they were ready to go. Basically, start that process, because it takes, you know, a while, months even for a small piece, and this is a, you know, big piece. So they were ready to go, and the county council said there'd been a complaint, and they said we may, you know, hit the brakes there for a little bit, Aidan, just to deal with this. And, you know, fair enough. You don't want to barrel on ahead regardless. Yeah. So, like, sure.
My 8-year-old son knows that art isn't going to appeal to everybody.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's it. And especially add to that people change their mind about art. You know, sometimes a thing goes up and people go, I dislike that. Molly Malone in Dublin, people were fierce sniffy when it came up, and now it's, you know, on the postcards as well. I didn't like the spire in Dublin. Now I think it's cool. So yeah, I mean, people, things change.
Okay, now there have been people. I mentioned Father Willie Cummins, who mentioned your work from the pulpit last Sunday. What did he say?
I think it was a fire and brimstone performance, but I actually don't know. Well, he said, I mean, there was a quote in the paper saying it was nasty. That stung, I tell you.
Wait, Liz, I just have it here. Now, at the end of the Mass, Father Cummins said, "With the help of God, many of us will join up and object to it.
Mm.
I love art, but this isn't nice.
Mm.
Ennis Diamond has a lovely history and people. I totally object to this sculpture. Already 50 people have put their names down objecting to it."
Mm. Mm.
And he described it as sinister.
Sinister. Yeah, I mean,
there's something sinister behind it.
Well, I don't know about that now.
Are you sinister?
It's been said.
So, what's your understanding now? Are you in the middle of something? Is it about the art, or is it about something else? What's your opinion?
I mean, it's hard to get a measure of it, because I'm just hearing about this. When the priest giving out around the altar, just I thought it was, you know, gas. But then it's a bit more complicated than that. I think there's a bit of a beef between. With the council for some people, because when the story went national, basically I got lots of support, like people from all sorts saying we like this statue. I've gotten offers from Kildare, Cork, Kerry, Dublin and Kilkenny saying they'd like to put it up. I've got the Epic Museum in Dublin saying they'd like to give it a home while Clare makes up its mind. I had the Hunter Museum in Limerick saying the same thing.
Right.
So, I mean, while this is coming in,
Were you paid in advance?
Well, it's increments, basically.
Okay,
There's a contract. And
oh, you get it in increments, yeah. I see Fianna Fáil Councillor Shane Talty said that Ennis Diamond would strongly welcome an artwork that reflected the town's history and heritage. We have a great tradition of music and sport. We have beautifully preserved shop fronts. Something that reflects the history of Ennis Diamond would be great.
Mm,
The pook has no relevance, and there was no public consultation before this statue was chosen. As it is, there is very little information coming from Clare County Council except that they are not going ahead with it, at least for the moment. You can't create art by committee, really, can you?
Well, it's not a recipe for success. It's a recipe for like a race to the bottom or some kind of bland sculpture that is generic in subject that people... I mean, I wouldn't say public art is a great name, and that's part of it. But like, there's plenty of sculptures of, you know, dancers and sportsmen around the country. There's lots of them. But no one gives a second look at them, and no one cares about them. So,
yes.
I mean, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, whatever you can say, people care about the puka. They care about it, and they, as of this week, basically, they care a lot.
Well, do you want to hear what they're saying on text, Aidan?
I don't know. Is it rough?
I haven't read it either, so I'm just going sight unseen.
Hit me.
I'm not from Ennisdiamond, but I really like the images of the puka sculpture I saw in the paper. It got me reading more about Irish folklore. I was taken aback to read such negative language used about it, says Dom. I just had a look at the statue. What a wonderful piece of work. Could we please have more of this rather than the awful Molly Malone type garbage, says Sheila. The puka is a disgrace, says somebody else.
Nice.
Haven't seen the puka in the paper. I think it's great and would definitely go to see it. I'm from Bray and we have had the Wyvern in Bray for 150 years and every visitor gets a photo with it. It's outside our town hall, says Dave. Met the puka loads of times, says Jerry, but wife never believed me when I'd said it happened on the way home from the pub. Is that what you call art, Ray? Pure evil, says that person. Didn't Fáil Gearán have a puka festival around Halloween? Tony from Navan wants to know. What absolute nonsense. Such an insult to the sculptor. I grew up on stories of the puka. Margaret, Dublin. How do you think it's going to pan out, Aidan?
Well, it's not just people around, you know, Dublin people and people who aren't from Clare. It's locals that are getting in contact with me and putting on Twitter that they're happy for it. The lad whose cafe it's supposed to be put out, he was trading quips with Dara O'Brien this morning. Happy as Larry to have it there. The aloe tree health food in Ennisdiamond, they're happy about it. And I mean, you can get a bunch of people together and they can seem like they're speaking for the town, but they're not.
Then just I better give you for balance, Aidan. That's because it's all important here on Orchard Ridge 1.
Sure.
Kira Fahey says, and she's a physical therapist whose office is just steps from the proposed site of the statue, according to the Daily Mail today. It's a piece of art that is sculpted very well, but unfortunately it's just not relevant to our town and its relevance should be obvious to anyone passing.
Mm. Well, I mean, its relevance is that Ennisdiamond had a big horse fair and the puka is basically a horse-headed man.
I was just reading there because I knew I had a memory of something around Clare there. Back in 1999... they changed the pathway of the M18 motorway to avoid a fairy bush.
Mm, yes.
Yeah.
Well, and your man, Eddie Lennon.
He was responsible for that, Eddie Lennon, yeah.
And I have huge time for Eddie Lennon. And Eddie Lennon has said he doesn't see what the fuss is about and he likes the piece. Because he knows that the puka is, you know, he's not a devil, he's not an angel. He's just, you know, he's like us, he's a conflicted fella.
Right. Well, you'd get my vote, but I'm not from Ennisdiamond, so it doesn't really matter what I think. But thanks so much for coming into our booth to talk to us today.
Thanks for having me.
And keep in touch. We'll follow this and see where it ends up. Thanks, Aidan. Mind yourself. See
Cheers.
You.
Thank you.
Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, today is a big day for writer Louise Neelan. Because today's the day she launches her first book, her first novel, and it is the thing of dreams for her, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like other people want to be professional footballers or doctors or vets or painters or whatever, or run a flower shop, but you always wanted to publish a book.
Yeah, ever since I held a book in my hand. I can't even remember the first time I held a book in my hand, so this is a lie. But ever since I knew that people wrote books, I wanted to write a book.
See, there already, you're searing honesty there. You wouldn't even lie about remembering the first time you held a book.
Yeah.
That's you, isn't it? In 30 seconds, that's you. And that comes across in the book. Congratulations, I devoured it. I loved it. And people always want references, don't they, when it comes to books? Because they need to know what genre it is, what's it like.
Yeah.
So I think it's somewhere between Pat McCabe and Marion Keyes.
Thanks so much. Yeah. I take that as a massive compliment.
Well, it's meant as a massive compliment because it's brilliant. And I just loved it. There's a great sense of place in it. The characters are brilliantly written. And it's a real page turner.
And it looks good too.
Yeah, like it looks great, doesn't it? I had nothing to do with the cover, right. But I'm so delighted with the way it turned out.
So how do you feel? How do you feel today?
Today's the biggest day of my life, Ray. I feel calm, a real sense of calm.
You're getting emotional now.
Yeah, I'm stuck between, I never thought that this would happen. I never really imagined myself. Some people dream of their wedding day, and I've always dreamt about my book launch, but I never had any of the details kind of filled in. And the details that have been filled in reality is just so far beyond my expectations that it really is like people say dream come true. Like it's so far beyond right. what I expected. And I'm so pleased and proud of my 18-year-old self, who would be absolutely like mind blown that I would be in this moment right now. So I'm just trying to take it all in, really.
All right. Well, yeah. Because, you know, I'm just looking at the plaudits on the cover. Wonderful, says Roddy Doyle. Beautiful and truthful and touching, says Marion Keyes. A novel for anyone who's ever felt lost in the world, says John Boyne. Tender, laugh out loud, funny and deeply moving, says Louise O'Neill. So it's all, they're hardly going to put negative ones on the cover.
Exactly.
In fairness. So it's obviously fiction, but there's a huge chunk of you in it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So let's find out a little bit about you. Just remind people about you who don't know. So you're from Kappa.
Yeah.
Which is where?
So Kappa is just off.
I know where it is, but this is for the listeners.
It's in North Kildare, just outside Kilcock.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're from a farming background?
Yeah. Grew up on a dairy farm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who's at home?
Mum and Dad are at home, and my siblings and their respective partners. So Michael, Sarah, and Catherine, and Cahal, Stephanie, and Paul, and my little niece Sophie.
Okay.
And we're all in the same bubble. It's like a commune down there.
Nice. So, yeah. So there will be celebrations tonight then?
Absolutely. And they've all taken the day off work tomorrow.
Oh.
So
oh, right.
We're really
going
for it.
So what's the plan for the launch?
So I'm heading down, like I'm leaving here.
Yeah.
It's been great excitement, like breaking the day off. Coming up here. And so I'm arriving home. Then we're going to have a virtual launch at 7 for about 40 minutes. I'll be chatting to my editor and Q&A and all that. And then we're going to be dancing from right. from 8 o'clock.
What sort of tunes
hours.
Will you be playing?
Oh, loads.
90s hits, I suppose.
90s hits, yeah. Yeah.
So Debbie is the main character in Snowflake. And she, like you, comes from
a dairy farm.
Yeah. Goes to Trinity College, as you did.
Yeah.
Finds it very difficult, as you did.
yeah.
Suffers with her mental health, as you did.
As I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's as near to memoir as you could get in a fiction.
It is and it isn't.
Right.
The thing about fiction that I love is that I can take all these bits of myself and I'm writing in the eye voice, and a magic thing happens where the character starts looking back at me. And they become a character in their own right. And they start doing things. Debbie started doing things from day one that I wouldn't do, because she has a different life to me. Like, I don't have a Billy in my life. I don't have a Maeve in my life. And I don't have a Xanthi in my life. So I had great... it was really difficult to write. Like, it's hard work. I'm not saying that it happens by magic. But if you sit there and work hard enough, the magic does come. And with Debbie, I really felt like the energy spark when she started doing unexpected things. And I know
that,
like,
is sort of odd. Like,
yeah,
us mere mortals can't understand that, Louise, in fairness.
But I'm as mortal as you
yeah,
get.
Yeah, no, I know.
You
but
know.
You're a very talented writer.
Thanks.
And the process, because people have described it to me before, it's nearly a subconscious process, is it?
Yeah. So for a long time, I bet myself up because I always wanted to be a writer, and I always thought I should be writing a certain thing. And then I learned about, this sounds very, but I learned about wavelengths, like brain wavelengths.
Yes.
So like beta, say, is like where you're like really, really concentrated. And then you have alpha, where you only let a few things in. And then you have theta, which is kind of like a meditative state. Mm. And you write out of, I write out of theta. And I think that a lot of writers do, where you're kind of like half asleep. And I think someone had a great line that like literature is a dream gone solid, which is like really relevant for the novel.
Yes, it is, because yeah. Maeve, who is Debbie's mother, mm-hmm. has a thing about dreams, and you have a thing about dreams.
Yeah,
explain it to us.
Yeah, so. Yeah, so the book comes from when I dropped out of college. I had a really strange dream that woke me up in the middle of the night, and it felt like I wasn't myself. And I don't mean that in a, you know, the way Irish people say I'm not myself. I really thought that I had slipped into someone else's subconscious, and I felt really mad. And I tried to explain it to my doctor, and he was really kind and generous, but you don't really have space within a medical diagnosis to explore, oh, I think I'm dreaming other people's dreams, you know? The space,
so that's
where it came from.
That was the crux of it.
That was the crux of it. So
you thought you were dreaming other people's dreams.
Yeah, and so I for years and years, I tried to chase that idea. And it only happened to me once. And it was very difficult to explain. And it seems like pure and utter garbage.
Well, I have to investigate a little bit more, if you don't mind.
No, you're grand.
Was it somebody that you knew?
No. See, the dreams in the book, they changed. They're not like the dream that I had. Just for the plot and... I hate using the word plot, actually.
Why do you hate using the word plot?
It's a very heavy word.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like getting a digger in, you know?
It's sort of, you can see the machinations of it, kind of, is that it?
Yeah, I never really, it's more so like, do you know the way, like when people are making music, they don't really, you think about the melody, but it comes naturally,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whereas like when you bring in a plot, it just breaks everything, even though it is there in the end, in the way that a song, the melody is there in the end.
Yeah. So Maeve, who's Debbie's mother, she believes that she dreams other people's dreams, and then you, there's an instance in it where you, where not you, sorry, where Debbie does as well. Sorry, where Debbie
people
does
do that all the time. People just like assume that I'm Debbie, and my dad has loads of one-liners that are great, and I always stuck them in the book for Billy. So like when my relations read the book, they were like, oh Jesus, like your dad, like you gave him a good time, but your poor mother. And I was like, my mother is not me.
So Billy is your uncle who lives out in a caravan at the back of the farm.
Yeah.
And he's a very well-read man, very funny man.
Yeah.
Because there's loads of laugh out loud stuff in it, but he has a problem with alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so there's good, there's a lot of mental health issues.
Yeah.
Like I think everybody has a mental health issue. All the characters do, don't they?
Yeah.
Is that to say we all do? I wonder.
That's the thing.
Is like that your experience of the world?
You were talking about trying to place the book in terms of like a market, you know? Yeah. And I think we do have a tendency to label things. And sometimes it's very useful to label people, and other times I get very, even the words mental health, they don't really sit right with me. They seem nearly too polite to be talking about, like, you know, just the messiness that everyone has in their lives. And I don't want for a minute to sit here and consider myself less well off than another person, or for people to feel sorry for me because I suffered with mental health issues or I had depression and anxiety. I'm no different to you, Ray, or anyone else listening. I think if a person says that they have depression, what they're really saying is they're not sure how they fit into the world. Like they're not sure how to make a real connection to the people around them. And I think we live in a very, a world that facilitates a kind of loneliness and like making connections is kind of difficult.
I wonder, is that because we're not that honest about what's going on in our heads?
Yeah.
Because if we shared really the truth of what's going on in our heads, then other people go, oh yeah, that happens to me as well. That's what I think as well.
I think that's what friendship is. Like when you like admit your own vulnerabilities to another person and trust them with that. And I don't think everyone feels safe to put all of themselves out there all of the time. And that's completely okay.
Yeah.
But I do. I don't really.
No.
But
you've been quite honest about your and open about your mental health issues.
Yeah, but the reason that I am is because I want to help another person that was in my shoes and like give them hope. Okay. You know, so that's the reason why I'm speaking about it.
So you dropped out of college.
Yeah.
Was it overwhelming? Was that the reason or?
Yeah, it was a bit overwhelming. I had a tendency for perfectionism, which people think is a good thing. I used to think perfectionism was a good thing until a very good doctor told me. He was like, I think it's a bit of a neurosis. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, it is. Because you're afraid to do things unless they're going to be perfect. And so you end up doing the same things over and over again because you're familiar with them. Whereas with college, you're just thrown into the world and you can be whoever you want to be. And all I wanted to do was completely retreat into my bedroom and read a few books and connect with the world that way.
Right.
I think if we're a little bit more honest about the college experience, college doesn't suit everyone, you know? And like in a number of ways, like, and I strived academically or tried to strive academically in order to kind of like validate me being there. But I look back on that, and I really think, like, I feel sorry for that, like, girl. And I just wanted to say it's okay to get a 2-1, like, you know, it's okay to get a B in an exam. Like
did it not become okay to get a 2-1 or a B?
Yeah, with our generation,
we're
very, very, very hard on ourselves. And I think it is, it's a generation split between, like, the likes of my dad left school when he was 14, and my mom was a nurse, and they had very practical jobs. And I think our generation, speaking from my own experience, I felt very lucky to be able to go to college. And a lot of emphasis was placed on education, not only from my parents, but from society all around us. And if you're any way academically inclined, I think the Leaving Cert kind of sets you up to have a perfectionist streak in you.
Yeah.
Because you're always aiming for the 600 points, you know.
The A. Always aiming for the A.
And then it's not okay. You become to associate that with your self-esteem, which is never good for your self-esteem in the end.
Which brings nicely on to the name of the book.
Yeah, Snowflake.
Snowflake. And you wanted to claim that word back for what it is, a thing of beauty. Is that part of it?
Yeah, so I got the title from a Sylvia Plath poem called The Night Dances, and there's a gorgeous couple of lines at the end where she says, why am I given these lamps, these planets falling like blessings, like flakes, six-sided, white on my eyes, light, my lips, my hair, touching and melting nowhere. And I absolutely fell in love with that poem, and I didn't really realise that Snowflake was so huge in the zeitgeist. And then I chose it as a title, and then I took a double take at it, and I was afraid to use it as a title then. I stepped back from it, and I suggested it to a couple of friends, and they were like, nah, because I knew that like they had to market the book somehow and I'd be called a snowflake for the rest of my life. But that was okay with me then. I decided that, yeah, like if we live in a cynical world, and if someone takes the word snowflake and uses it as an insult, and it's so beautiful, like I just wanted to claim it back a little bit for what it is.
Would you be acutely aware of your generation? See, I'm not aware of my generation at all. I wouldn't know what even I'm called. I don't know what generation
mental,
I'm from.
It's mental, isn't it? I think that's that. There's a shift in that as well. because the relationship between Billy and Debbie, like they're yes. from different generations.
Maria.
Yeah, Maria. And it's only recently, it's going back to the labeling thing as well. Like if you label people with mental illness, if you label a book, if you label someone by their generation or their age bracket or their gender or their sexuality, you're limited them yeah. in some way. And we're forced to think about labels an awful lot more in my generation. So it's kind of like to catch that and then just kind of try to fight against it.
Yeah, because there's a pub scene, isn't there, around Christmas mm-hmm. where they're all there. And like I've so many fond memories of pubs in Kildare. And the generational thing was sort of fudged, dissolved by alcohol maybe. But, you know, like, you know, if somebody who was 19 was going out with a 30-year-old, for example,
yeah.
it wasn't, nobody really batted an eyelid.
Yeah.
You know, because yeah. nobody cared. And that was, although like Billy was given out to you that maybe you were going out with
demands. He was given out to Debbie.
Oh, Debbie. Not me. Like, sorry.
It's all right, right?
It's your own fault for writing something that's nearly biographical.
It's not nearly biographical.
No, but
it's not nearly biographical.
You have a lot in common with Debbie.
I do, yes. But that doesn't make it
no, I know. Sorry.
Memoir or biographical.
No, it's not. It's not. I know. No, people will know that. People will know that.
No, see, right, they don't. They really don't.
Do they not?
No.
I think when they read it, they'll know. Yeah. I like Billy as a character. I know so many. Well, I don't know. I'm one or two guys like him.
Yeah. You know, everyone kind of fell in love with Billy, which I find interesting because I find him a really, really deeply problematic character because I think he's a bit of a control freak.
Right.
Like he's white knuckling it. He wants Debbie to live life his way.
Okay.
Right. Whereas I have a real grasp for Maeve, even though everyone thinks that she's mad.
Yeah.
I think that there's a bit of Maeve in all of us, really.
She dances naked in the necklace.
Yeah, went a bit too far there. But yeah.
Listen, Marina, I could talk to you all day. You know, we talked about this the last time, but the comparisons with Sally Rooney, how are they sitting? Is there going to be more of that now that you're launching the book?
Yeah, I'm so glad that the book is being launched and I can talk about the book rather than myself and the characters yes. rather than myself. I'm a massive fan of Sally Rooney, as I said before, and I see her, like, I see my relationship with Sally Rooney as a reader-writer relationship. She's the writer and I'm the reader. And I don't really think, like, I think if we were both carpenters, I don't think there would be a comparison between
no,
our work.
No,
or plumbers, you know.
I was going to say your tables look completely different.
Yeah, and I don't think people would be interested in the process.
No, but I suppose she's been such a huge success.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
Such a, you yeah, know, and a cultural such a phenomenon.
Yeah,
you know?
And a trailblazer
yes,
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's massive. Yeah.
And like, the since we're talking about similarities, like you are talking to Element and
yeah,
this is going to be made into a TV or
TV series.
TV series, yeah.
Yeah, well, very, very early stages, yeah. But they're excellent people to work with.
That's
such
very
great
exciting.
People. Yeah.
Is it real to you? Is it becoming more real as the day goes on? The fact that you have your first book and it's there
yeah,
in front of you.
Yeah, it is.
And yeah. There's an audio version. You've listened to that?
Yeah. Read by Orla from Dairy Girls.
All right.
She's amazing. She's so good. And I was kind of a bit hesitant to give it away. I wanted to read it myself. But I'm so glad I did. She did an incredible job. And it was really nice to hear the story. Because I wrote it more than a year ago now. So I forget it a bit. And it's so nice to hear someone outside your head interpret the words in their voice.
So, which begs the question, like, do you hear the dialogue in your head? Do you hear Billy talking to Debbie? And
oh, absolutely, yeah.
You hear that.
And I always, my poor sisters and my brother, I always played with invisible friends when I was younger. I was like, my teacher was worried that I was unsociable, but she just couldn't see the people that I was
hanging out with,
you know.
You had a great circle of friends.
I really did.
Albeit
social
invisible.
Butterfly.
Yeah, yeah. And, which I'm sorry that I'm going to this question next, but how are you, you know,
In general, my mental health hasn't been better. When I got the book deal, I went back to therapy. That's the first thing I did, and found a brilliant therapist. I'm training in therapy at the minute. I'm doing a course.
Right.
Nothing big, but just a couple of hours a week. And
psychotherapy, is it?
Yeah, it's a course.
Yeah, because you have to go to therapy to be a psychotherapist, don't you?
Yeah. Very, very early days now, but dipping my toe in.
Okay. And what's next?
Another book. It's a two-book deal. I'm really excited about the next book.
And is it completely different, or are the same characters in it?
I can't say.
You can't say, right?
Yeah. Like a politician.
Right. I'd love to know what happens to Debbie, to be honest.
Yeah, thanks, Ray.
Yeah. Congratulations again, Louise Nealon. Snowflake is in shops now. You'll recognise it because it's blue and orange. And enjoy tonight and do a lot of dancing.
Thanks so much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gurmaga Kieran, thanks very much. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Margaret in Cork says, saw Louise's book in Easons today. The cover and the look of the book is so attractive and I had to pick it up. It's on my summer reading list. I look forward to reading it. You won't be disappointed, Margaret in Cork. And she says, best of luck, Louise. On the Pooka, we spoke to Aidan earlier on. I was born and grew up on the shores of Pool of Fuca Reservoir and will be familiar with the Irish folklore. The thing is with the Pooka is that there was darkness, mischief and danger there. And strikingly, a lot of vagueness about what the Pooka actually looked like. I think the artist has done a great job, says Aidan from Ballymount. And just caught the end of the segment about Ennistymon. I understand the artist wants to defend his piece of art, but the people of Ennistymon were never consulted about it. Two things we have a problem with. And it's no disrespect to the artist, but number one, the statue isn't nice. It goes with nothing in the town. And number two, we were not consulted on anything to do with it. That was my question. Do you know all those pieces of art that we see in the sides of motorway? Like, I drive past them. I was never consulted. But that's fine with me. You can't do art by committee. I lived in Falls Hotel from 1955 to 1987. Oh, the big house. I stayed there once. We did a programme from it. The view out the window is just amazing of the falls. That's why it's called the falls on the River Ina. And they were featured in Smother there, I think, in the first episode or second episode. I think I can lay claim to be partly an Ennistymer. I love the town. I absolutely love the Pooka. It's a seriously impressive piece of work and should be taken as a mythical creature with a hint of humour. I think it would certainly be a draw to the town, but it is as a very talented piece of art that should be turned down. Go for it, everyone. Even though it might give you a bit of a start, if coming home late at night with a pint or two on board, lighten up, folks, and enjoy. It's a fun piece. What about the gargoyles of Notre Dame and much medieval sculpture? Says that person, and they don't give us a name at the end of that, do they? No, they don't. I think the Pooka is fantastic. It certainly is a talking point. There's room in my front garden in Dublin if they don't want it down in Ennistymon. Says that person. So there's, I think, majority of people are for, there's a few against. It's sort of, I'd say 80-20. That's just in our straw poll here on the show today. Hello, thank you. Now it's time for our quiz of today. Today being the 13th of May. 10 questions on the way from events that happened on this day over the years. And a prize as well from the Castleknock Hotel. Their missed moments packages can help you celebrate the things you may have missed last year. Birthdays, anniversaries and date nights, balloons, bubbles and cake included. CastleknockHotel.com. Hello, Deirdre Flynn.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. You're in Carrigaline in County Cork and you're running a very busy taxi service.
I am. Yes, I've work in the mornings and then pick up from school in the afternoon. So,
right.
Yeah, busy house.
How many pickups do you have to do?
I have three children, two in secondary and one in primary. So I do two pickups.
Two pickups, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are the secondary two, what are they doing?
Yeah, so I have a girl doing her leaving cert.
Right.
And then I have a boy who should have been doing the junior cert. So he was quite happy when that got cancelled. And then I have a boy in fifth class.
Okay.
As well.
So, and your daughter, has she signed up for both, as in the assessment and the exam?
She has.
Okay.
She has.
And is she going to sit all the exams?
That's her plan.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
That's what she signed up for anyway. So, yeah.
Less than a month now and counting?
That's it, absolutely. So, yeah, there's probably about maybe a week to 10 days left in school and they all have to be nearly cocooning themselves then before the exams start. So it is a tough old time, really.
Do they have to cocoon for medical reasons? Or
no? Well, no, I think it's just, it's been recommended that they limit their contacts because...
Oh, is it? Right.
Yeah, because if they become a close contact, or, you know, they won't be able to go into school to sit their exams. Yes. So, yeah. Yeah, so it's a stressful time for them all, really.
And Deirdre, did that come from the school or from the Department of Education?
No, it's come out this week. It was they were even discussing it on the radio. Oh,
right,
on Tuesday of this week. Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
There you go. Yeah. I missed that bit. Sometimes I miss things because I'm working away at home and reading
books
and that sort of thing.
That's
it.
I usually have the radio on it when I'm working.
Constantly,
so, yeah.
What do you do?
I work in a pharmaceutical company.
Right, but you can work from home.
I'm working mostly from home, yes.
Okay. And will that remain the same when things sort themselves out?
Yeah, I think that I would say maybe a little bit more flexibility. So maybe 2 days in the office, 3 days at home. You know, I think it'll be, you know, it'll be slow for everyone to go back 5 days.
That'd be a nice mix, won't it?
It would.
You're up against Linda Conlon from Talla. How are you doing, Linda?
Hi, how are you?
Good to talk to you.
And yourself.
You're back to work on Monday.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Right.
Still waiting for word, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you work?
I'm in a little cafe in the square there in Talla, across Croissant d'Or.
What's the name of it?
La Croissant d'Or.
La Croissant d'Or.
La Croissant d'Or.
Is that the gold croissant?
It is, the golden croissant.
The golden croissant, right. Okay.
The golden service.
Look at you, very posh, going all French out there in the square in Talla. Yeah. So you've been off then since forever, have you?
I've been off for over a year now, right?
Yeah.
And really being hands-on, I had a granddaughter at the start of the lockdown.
Yeah.
And I'm due one at the end of the lockdown.
Oh, brilliant. And you were able to hang around them and be with them?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. Which was, it worked out brilliant, you know.
Yeah. So.
And I'd actually, my two nieces, my goddaughter, Samantha down in Kildare, had a little boy there 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And my niece had a little girl 5 weeks ago.
So it's babies a go-go.
Babies
a go-go.
All right. Lockdown babies.
And what about the jab? I'm looking at your age here. I won't give it away if you don't want me to.
That's okay.
But let's say you registered last week.
I did. I'm nicely in my 50s.
Right. Or maybe this week. Did you register on Tuesday, was it?
I did.
Yeah, Tuesday. So people can work it out there. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Five questions each, Linda and Deirdre. Whoever answers the most correct gets the prize. If it's a draw, we go to a tiebreak situation. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Good luck, Deirdre.
Deirdre, first question for you. On this day in 1958, French settlers rioted against the army in Algeria. On what continent would you find Algeria?
Africa.
It's the correct answer. Linda, for you, on this day in 1830, the Republic of Ecuador was founded. On what continent would you find Ecuador?
South America.
Is the correct answer. Deirdre, second question for you. It's an audio one. Have a listen to this.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Quite stylish. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe. But I got you pegged.
On this day in 2004, the final episode of that US sitcom was watched by 33 million people. Can you name it?
Was it Cheers?
No.
No, okay.
But you were close. It was sort of a close relation because it was an offshoot. Frasier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
Okay. Linda, an audio question for you. Have a listen to this. On this day in 2001, at the 47th BAFTAs, that programme you heard the theme tune from won Best Soap Opera. Can you name it?
Emmerdale Farm.
Correct answer. Deirdre, third question for you. On this day in 1978, Henry Rono of Kenya set a new world record for the 3,000 metre steeplechase. Which of these is the capital of Kenya? Addis Ababa or Nairobi?
Nairobi.
Is the correct answer. Addis Ababa is the capital of Ethiopia. Linda, for you, on this day in 1969, race riots, later known as May 13th, the May 13th incident, took place in Malaysia. Which of these is the capital of Malaysia? Kuala Lumpur or Hanoi?
Kuala Lumpur.
Kuala Lumpur.
It's the correct answer. Hanoi is Vietnam. Right, Deirdre, music question for you. Have a listen to this.
I see the girls walk by dressed in their summer clothes.
On this day in 1966, that band released their single Painted Black. Can you name them?
I have to guess. This is all way before my time, you see.
Yeah.
Beatles?
Oh, it's the other ones. You're so close. No, the Rolling Stones. The Rolling
okay.
Stones,
yeah,
right.
No, I didn't know it.
Okay, okay. It was a good stab at it all the same. Linda, by my calculations, if you get this right, Deirdre can't catch you. So it's an important question for you. It's a music one. Have a listen to this.
I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care.
And on this day in 1950, that singer you heard there with I Just Called to Say I Love You was born in Michigan. Can you name him?
Stevie Wonder
is the correct answer, and there you Woo-hoo! Go. That wins it for you. There you go. Hard luck, Deirdre.
No problem.
Hard luck. Listen, we'll send you out a couple of Ray D'Arcy Show mugs.
Perfect. That's yeah. great.
And good luck to your daughter in the Leaving Cert.
Thank you.
And good luck to you handling everything that goes with that. Okay.
No
great talking to you, Deirdre. Mind
you
yourself.
Too.
See you now.
Thanks.
Bye. 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 Linda, well done.
Thanks very much. Now
you're not going far. You're not going far, but still, you'll be pampered and you won't have to make the bed after yourself. Somebody else will do it and all that sort of thing. And there'll be balloons and bubbles and cake and all that. So, two nights in the Castle Knock Hotel. You can find out more at castleknockhotel.com. Well done,
Super.
Linda.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Stay safe. Bye, bye, bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Noel says, please continue to highlight the serious problem of irresponsible dog owners. I'm convinced with the help of your programme and more intervention from government, we can get this sorted in time, says Noel. People need to be embarrassed about their dog poo, I think, and then they'll do something about it. People need to feel uncomfortable about behaviour sometimes before they're willing to change it. Shakespeare's impish Puck in A Midsummer Night's Dream is inspired by the Pooka, says Pete in Cork. There's a bit of information for you that you can share with your friends this evening. That's lovely. Declan O'Rourke, The Harbour, very talented man. And when we're speaking of talent, just a reminder, Snowflake, the new book by Louise Nealon, and Louise is a real talent. That's her debut novel in bookshops now. Okay, the stats around traveller unemployment are quite shocking and they're very depressing. A recent report, Travellers in the Mainstream Labour Market, shows that 80% of the traveller community are not in work. That's a particularly stark figure, isn't it? Today we're going to hear about a thriving operation called Bounce Back. It's based in Galway. It's a mattress recycling business that provides employment opportunities for people who have difficulties getting jobs. The majority are from the travelling community. So we've two people in our Galway studio. We've Martin Ward, manager at Bounce Back. How are you doing, Martin?
How are you getting on, Ray?
Good. And Keith McDonough, who's supervisor at Bounce Back. How are you doing, Keith?
How's things, Ray? All good?
Good. All good, yeah. Martin, I'll go to you first. So you spotted a gap in the market when it came to recycling mattresses.
Yeah, so in 2017, we established a social enterprise called Bounce Back Recycling. After identifying a gap in the market for mattress recycling project in the west of Ireland. And have been working away since then and have recycled over 50,000 mattresses to date.
That's a lot of mattresses. Before we get to talk about the travelling community and the unemployment, just tell us a little bit about what you do. So I would imagine it's the outside of the mattress that's thrown away and everything else is recyclable, is it?
Yeah, so we take in the mattress and we deconstruct it by hand and break it down into the various components, and about 75% of the mattress is recyclable.
Right. And would you come and take it away if I had one on offer?
Yes, so we are offering currently a domestic household collection across 10 counties in Ireland, and we offer a nationwide collection service to commercial clients and local authorities.
And you charge me?
We charge, yeah. So you can book a collection and www.bouncebackrecycling.ie.
And of course, a lot of people are buying into the recycling thing now, which is hugely important if we want to save our planet. So they would have to dispose of it anyway, which would cost them money.
Yeah, there's a charge regardless of what process you use to dispose of your mattress. But the difference with ours, it's an environmentally friendly process, and all mattresses are even currently deconstructed by hand.
Yeah, and if I give you a particular mattress, do you break it up completely, or do you just take the outside off it and recover it?
No, there's no recovering. All mattresses are completely taken apart down into the component parts. So the springs are separated,
right,
the foams, and then the material. No part of the mattress goes back on the market as a mattress.
Right. Now, when you were putting this business together, was it specifically to give employment to members of the travelling community?
Yes, so the project was set up to create employment opportunities for members of the traveller community, because year after year and report after report, we've always had a very high unemployment rate. So we felt, let's take a step back and see what's in our own control, in a way that we could showcase what can be achieved by the community if an opportunity is given. So we've grown from 3 staff in 2017 to 12 staff currently, and by the end of June we'll have 16 staff. We started working in one county, and now we're in 10 counties.
Right.
You know, so the business has grown quite quickly, and the demand for jobs, you know, so this has given the typical stereotype is travellers don't want to work, but this is showcasing what travellers do want to work and what can be achieved.
And what's your personal experience of looking for work before you started this?
Well, I came from business, so my family has always been involved in business, and the challenges that you face in business is unreal. Like, you pretty much have to sell out your ethnicity, hide your identity, and that's literally, you do it because you want to put, like, food on the table.
Yeah.
And like, the damage that does, so...
Well, you're living a lie then, aren't you?
Well, you are, yeah, but it's
like... No, I mean, they say, like, in psychological circles that if you know, the face that you put out to the world and your true self are, you know, very different, that's not good for your mental health.
No, it definitely isn't. And I think it depends, like, every individual is different. Some people can do it for a week, some could be for a year, some could be for 10 years. But there is, you're only putting off the damage that you're doing to yourself. So there comes to a stage that, listen, now we have to just change the narrative, because this is a narrative that's out there. The travellers doesn't want to work, but it wasn't created by us. And, like, when we start looking at the social enterprises, we were saying, this is a way for us to create employment. Yeah. But definitely... You know, we've been overanalyzed as a community, and there's been so many reports. And even during the boom times, the traveller unemployment rate didn't decrease. And in 2017, the Community Foundation of Ireland did an attitudes and behaviour study, and 83% of people, non-travellers that took part in that study, said they would not employ a traveller. And that's very similar to the stats of the 80% unemployment rate.
Yeah, and how can we hope to improve the situation for everybody, if that's the case. Keith, how are you?
How's things, right?
Good. So what's your experience of trying to get work?
Well, I passed my rigid licence probably 10, 11 years ago.
Yeah, driving.
Driving for the Arctic, the rigid licence.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I had applied for a couple of jobs. No, they were vacant, and there was a couple of vacancies in some jobs. I'd send in my CV. I had a clean licence, which never even got a call back or an email back, so... That's kind of my experience of it.
And how would they know from your CV that you're a traveller?
Well, McDonough is a very popular traveller name. Yeah. As you know yourself.
Yes.
Like, do you know, McDonough is a very popular traveller
name. As is Ward, I suppose. Is it, Martin?
Yeah, both, like, yeah.
So they just assume from your name that you're a traveller, and then they make assumptions about your work ethic and various other things.
They're assuming you're a traveller. They more likely know you're a traveller, and then the stereotype that travellers don't want to work.
Yeah.
That's what you're facing. And as you can see, with Martin to bounce back, you can see what we can achieve when we're given the chance. Like, look what we've created with Bounce Back now at the moment.
Martin, this seems like the way forward, isn't it? It's taking it into your own hands.
Well, I think that we can't do this alone either, Ray. So I think that there is a challenge for mainstream employers, and that's why this recent report out there, and also, like, for the government. So, like, there is jobs within the public service, and I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago, and they said there was around 400,000 jobs in the public service, but I'd say that there's, like, if there's a handful of travellers in that. So the report is recommending internships, but also... the government leading the way and taking leadership to create jobs within the public service for travellers. Like, if we're 1% of the population, why aren't we?
There should be 4,000 then working in the public service. Yeah,
there should be 4,000. Yeah, so that should be reflective. So yes, if travellers are 1% or migrants or 10%, like, they should be reflective in the public service. So there's a huge challenge there on government as well to take on this, because what we can't employ every traveller that wants to be employed currently in Galway or across the country. It can't be left to the community and voluntary sector to sort this out. And it is government leading the way and promoting, this diversity and inclusion. But where is it for travellers in the jobs?
What age are you, Martin?
I'm 37.
Right, okay. Have you seen any improvement for travellers in your lifetime?
No, to be honest, for me, it's report after report, and the stats haven't changed, and it's like each report is buying 3 or 4 or 5 years of traveller lives.
Because they're waiting for the report to act on that report.
Yeah, so they're waiting for the report to act, and then a lot of the times there's no, like, targets, and, like, then a lot of the stuff isn't delivered upon. Well, then there's no sanctions. We'll just roll out another report in the hope that. But for, like, we haven't got that. We haven't got 5 and 10 years to be wasting now. We just need to get on with it.
If you were given control of a campaign, a media campaign, I know I'm ambushing you a bit with this question, but if you were given control of a media campaign to put your story out there to the settled community, what do you think the main message should be?
Well, I think it's how people, like, the travellers are perceived in a certain way without people even knowing or ever meeting the traveller.
Yeah.
And to be blunt, a lot of the times it's down to the media and the way that stuff gets hyped as well.
Right.
But, like, we've had conversations and broke down so many barriers now with BBR for people that never had any connection.
What's BBR?
Bounce Back Recycling, the mattress recycling company.
And they know that from racism in other countries as well, that the more you interact with an ethnic minority, the less likely you are to be racist towards them.
Yeah, so, like, we've as I said, broken down so many barriers, and it is that connectivity. But if there's a cement wall between you and the settled community, well, you're never going to break down any of that. And even by the service, like, we're creating social impacts for members of the traveller community in Bounce Back Recycling via the jobs. But the environmental impact that we're creating is for the whole of society.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And I think that will break down. So we're doing our bit.
Okay.
And
so just give us the website address, Martin, because we've run out of time, so people can contact you to get their mattresses recycled.
Yeah, so the website address is www.bouncebackrecycling.ie.
Okay. We'll talk again, Keith and Martin. And if we're down in Galway, you might come and join us on the show and we'll have a longer chat. Okay, for the moment, Martin Moore and Keith McDonough, thanks very much.
Thanks very much.
Bye, bye. That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.